In keeping with the spirit of the week, with the Tennessee Titans at 3-7 following a 34-14 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, that at times didn't even seem like it was that competitive a game. But Titans can at least be thankful that they're not the New England Patriots, who are 2-8, or the Arizona Cardinals, who are 2-9, or the Carolina Panthers, who are 1-9. They can say they're better than all of those teams, at least for the next few days. Of course, Carolina is coming to Nissan Stadium Sunday as the next Titans opponent. Showdown between rookie quarterbacks Bryce Young and Will Levis is anticipated, and that will add some nice drama to what is an otherwise forgettable matchup within the grand scheme of things. But and of course, the good news for Titans fans, it's been a while since the Titans have played at Nissan Stadium, but lest we remind you, they have been a much better team, have played some pretty good football at times in their home field. So we will see if they can return to form as they return home on Sunday afternoon. But we have some things to discuss, of course, before then, and we will do so here and now on this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, happy Thanksgiving week, sir.
Same to you, David. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, happy Thanksgiving.
And to you as well.
And I am David Beauclair, and as always, a little bit of housekeeping to get out of the way. The Titans this week signed safety Matthew Jackson and running back Jonathan Ward to the practice squad. Both those guys were waived on Saturday ahead of the Jacksonville game and kept around now and likely will be in the mix for playing time going forward as members of the practice squad. And they waived from the active roster Jaleel Johnson. Obviously, no earth-shattering moves there. Nothing that is going to make anyone think that the season's going to turn around based on that. The week's first injury report is out. Treylon Burks still dealing with the concussion at this point. Looks unlikely to play Sunday. Right tackle Chris Hubbard, the bad news with a biceps injury, has not practiced, and there's been a report that he is out for the year. The good news, although I guess some people won't look at it that way, is Andre Dillard is back to full participation from a concussion, and so it looks like there will be some sort of offensive line shuffle once again this week. We have talked about the offensive line issues, I think, to death. I don't know that we need to go into them again, but we'll see where Dylan Raiden's lines up this week, I guess, is the best way to look at it. He could be playing his third different position in as many games, I think, if I have it correctly. But going back to Sunday, as we mentioned, it was a one-sided loss to Jacksonville. That's three in a row again, 7 in 10 games this season, 14 losses in 17 games. There are starting to be some rumbles, I think, in social media circles and fan chats and that sort of thing about Mike Vrabel's job security. Denard, I guess, well, let's start with you. How much of this falls at the feet of the head coach right now, and should he be worried about his future right now?
I think everybody in that locker room should be worried about their future right now. Even the general manager, because he plays a large role in the decision making. He put this team together as well. So you got to include Rand Carthon in this. And I mean, that's what happens when you lose, David. This is a game where ultimately you're judged by your wins. And your losses is what allows it, really is, leads to your exit out of that, building. And so right now they don't look very good. They don't look good on paper and they don't look good on film. And I think what was embarrassing Sunday is this is a team that didn't score until 5 seconds left in the third quarter. And you just cannot win in this league like this. And when you look at the two touchdowns that they scored, the fact that you had to use trick plays on both, that shows you offensively what kind of firepower you have, which is nothing. And give it up for Jacksonville. I thought their defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell, called one heck of a game. And what he did was said, listen, this is what we're going to do early. He says, we're going to stop number 22. For the last 3 years, this man has absolutely terrorized this organization. And they did one heck of a job. What they limited to 38 yards rushing on 10 carries. So imagine if your stars are not productive, David, what chance do you have on Sundays to win?
Yeah, and that's right. I guess a tip of the cap to Jacksonville for finally putting the wraps on Derrick Henry, because it for the last several years it seemed like it didn't matter what the situation was, didn't matter who won. Derrick was going to get his yards and was going to be a problem, and that certainly was not the case on Sunday. And you mentioned the trick plays for touchdowns. One of them, Jeffrey Simmons catching a touchdown pass, which is sort of a fun thing, but it certainly, I guess, it didn't feel that fun even at that moment, given the state of the game. And on the one hand, you want to say, well, the Titans wasted that play in a game that they were clearly going to lose at that point. But the other side of it is, now that's on film for other teams to look at, and they can put Simmons in there and do something else off of it while they're worried about him catching a pass. So that has set for a team that has not been good in the red zone this year. They at least, I think, in that regard, set themselves up for something to work again down the line here in a game or two. But back to the subject of Mike Vrabel too. It was what, 2 years ago, John? I think it was in his in one of the early postseason press conferences. Vrabel was feeling particularly salty for what seemed like no particular reason, and declared to the media that he was going to be around for a long time. Do you think that a long time has moved very quickly on him all of a sudden? I mean, is time running out on him possibly?
I do recall that that press conference, because that was, I believe, he had actually signed his extension, if I recall correctly, maybe a couple of days beforehand, and it hadn't become public. So he was kind of speaking. He was later he would say, I was trying to give you guys a hint that I'd had my extension. But regardless, I mean, we all know how quickly things can change in the NFL. Do I think that right now that Mike Vrabel's job is on the line right now? I don't think so. I don't get that sense, and I think that's because you have to look at the larger picture, the big body of work that Mike Vrabel has had so far. And if you look at before everything hit the fan last year for that 7-game losing streak, they were 50-29 under Mike Vrabel, and he's a guy with four winning records, two division titles, AFC title game, and AFC Coach of the Year on his resume. I blame last year, the slide last year, primarily on injuries. Absolutely gutted this team. Tannehill missed 5 games, 3 down the stretch, and I blame most of the problems this year on roster construction. I just don't think that roster is all that good. So those are some of the reasons I don't think that right this moment that Mike Vrabel's job is on the line. But look, I mean, if he continues, or I shouldn't say he, if this team continues to stink it up going down the stretch here, we might be looking at something different in the offseason. They've got 5 of their last 7 games at home, and if they're putting out a terrible product, especially at home, and there's nobody in the stands there watching it because of how bad they are, how irrelevant they are, it's not a good look. Now, the owner's not going to be sitting in her suite enjoying, the overall product. And if you go the better part, of a year and a half being one of the worst teams in football, then I think you do have to give it some thought. And as we talked about last week, I think, Amy Adams Strunk certainly is not afraid to fire people. Ken Wisenhunt, it was in the middle of a season, his second season. Mike Mularkey, after 2 winning seasons, he got fired. John Robinson, in the middle of a season, after he put together, you know, I think what four straight winning seasons, and was still at 7-5 at that spot. So she's not afraid to pull the trigger. And if things continue to go really poorly, you know, she may think, you know, she may give that some consideration this offseason. So I think he has really got to show that his young guys are making progress down the stretch. And obviously the most important one there is Will Levis. You know, guys like Tajay Spears, too, Josh Wiley, Chigo Okonkwo at the tight end spots, Skoronski. Is Mike Vrabel giving us a clear picture that things can change under his watch, that he is improving the talent on hand? I think those are some of the things that he has to show, you know, during this 7-game stretch. And it's not going to be easy because there's no playoff motivation either. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and what the thinking of Ms. Amy Adams Strunk is at the end of this year.
Yeah, I think one thing that people need to understand among Mike Vrabel's skills, I think he's quite adept at dealing with the owner and making sure the owner knows, at least on a week-to-week basis, if not a day-to-day basis, sort of the state of the team and how he sees it and what he's working toward. And he is, you know, Jeff Fisher was really, really good at that with Amy's father, Bud Adams, Bud was sort of an odd guy and a tough guy to talk to in a lot of ways, but Jeff took time every week and really made Bud Adams feel like he was part of the process, and it made a difference when you look at 2004, 2005, for example, when the Titans went 5-11, 4-12 in back-to-back seasons, and Jeff Fisher survived that. And 3 years later, the Titans went 13-3 in 2008, had the best record in the NFL that season, and had two more play. In fact, he only had one losing record for Tennessee after that, in five seasons after that that terrible 2-year stretch. So there's something to be said for that. And I think too, John, you're right also in pointing out Will Levis. I think the move to Levis at quarterback was sort of Mike Vrabel's declaration to Amy Adams Strunk, to the fan base, to the entire world, that, you know, we are setting our sights on the future. Everything we're doing now is to build toward that. I think that's part of why you see, like, Christian Fulton, for example, getting benched again on Sunday, and Trey Avery getting thrown in there again. They're trying to develop Trey Avery for potentially a bigger role going forward. And the sense is very much that there is a future for this team, such as it is right now. How many of these exact players and coaches will be a part of it remains to be seen. But Mike Vrabel has said he has no plans to fire any coaches in season. Certainly, he's made it clear he's willing to do that during the off season. But it's not like he's flailing and just reaching for answers here. I'm sure in those conversations with the owner, he says these are the problems. These are the things that could be addressed this year. These are the answers that we're going to have to come up with during the off season. And, you know, you go from there, and he has to just hope that that he's around, he gets enough done that he is around to do that. But John, you mentioned the Titans are all but officially eliminated from the playoff picture here after just 11 games and 10 or excuse me 10 games and 11 weeks. It's not fun. Taylor Lewan, you know, in recent years talked about he was part of teams that guys in November were already making plans for the first week of the offseason, where they were going to go, where they were going to be. Denard, were you ever part of locker rooms like that, and how much does that detract from the sense of purpose when guys start thinking that way?
That's a great question. I actually was thinking about that, thinking about this team, and I was part of a team like that. It was in Oakland when I played for the Raiders, And that last year, we knew we were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs by around this time, late November. And what happens, we saw what I witnessed was guys actually quit. And that is not what you want to see. And unfortunately, that kind of led to Norv Turner's demise as a coach for the Raiders in 2 years. So, again, I don't see any quit in this team, David. That's one thing I do like about a Mike Vrabel team. They will compete. The problem with this team right now is there's just too many holes. Your offensive line, they've played, I hate to use this word, abysmal. Is a nice word to put it. But then when you look at the secondary, I did a show today earlier with ESPN and Greg Lerner, and he talked about the secondary. And I said, man, you ran Carthon, you traded away arguably your best cornerback in over a decade or nearly a decade in Kevin Byard. Now he's in Philadelphia. But when you traded Kevin, what happened is a lot of that leadership left. Along with and that hurt this unit. You can tell the way that they play in the back half and the way that they play Sunday. There's no confidence in those young corners. Even Roger McCreary has taken a step back. We saw him get beat, and we saw Jacksonville receivers absolutely annihilate Tennessee secondary Sunday. Christian Kirk went off, and we haven't called Calvin Ridley name in years, and he had over 100 yards receiving. What happened with this team is, yeah, there is the future with Will, but you see a lot of when you've lost AJ, you can still see the effect from those trades. And they got to make some big moves in the offseason as far as the draft and free agency if they want to get better.
Yeah, and let's take a quick moment and salute Kevin Byard, by the way, who on Monday night playing for the Eagles basically spent the night running with Travis Kelce all night long, you know, most of the game, which is certainly no easy feat. And, you know, the interception he had in the end zone was not covering Kelce on that one. But I think that was I think Titans fans probably watched that game with a bit of, you know, joy in their hearts for Kevin Byard being Kevin Byard, doing the kinds of things he does. But then the sadness of thinking, oh, you know, God, this guy was on our team and did so much for this team for so long. John, I'm sure I haven't seen or heard much of it, but I'm sure it's going to come up, you know, the idea of tanking now at this point to get the best possible draft pick. Denard said he sees no quit in this team. Do you see any indication that further moves might be made to sort of, you know, we'll just call it that. Tank this season and try and improve draft position at this point?
I don't see signs so far of tanking, right? I don't see signs so far of a lack of fight, but I mean, it's going to be interesting going down the stretch too, because, you know, even last week there was just that shred of hope, maybe that shred of optimism. And I think we talked about it a little bit too, that, you know, hey, what if we beat Jacksonville this week? What if we do what Jacksonville did last year, turn things around by beating the team on top of the division, get on a roll, you know, put yourself right back in the thick of the playoff chase. And if they had beaten Jacksonville last week, hey, you're only two games back of the Jaguars. And this is the first game, really, that pretty much, I mean, it's not mathematical, but for the most part, all hope is lost right now. I think, you know, I think the New York Times playoff predictor has a less than 1% likelihood of the Titans making the playoffs. So really, we're going to start seeing that test right now. And it's a long time, too. You know, I mean, a lot of times teams will get eliminated, you know, with 3 or 4 weeks to go, maybe. And then you wonder, oh, I wonder how it's going to go. It's just 7 games still left. So it's a legitimate question. I asked a couple of you know, veterans this week, sort of, you know, what do you deal with? How do you deal with the you know, having no motivation for the playoffs? Because it hasn't been the case here. You know, I mean, the last 4 years have been winning seasons, you know, in the thick of playoff chases and so forth. And, you know, Imani Hooker, who's been here a while, said he's been asking teammates kind of, what's your why And what he means by that is, what's your reason for playing football? He wants to know what motivates guys, because now they're playing for that. And he said also it's about kind of caring about the guys around you, wanting to give them, your teammates, the guys you sitting next to playing with, the best chance, moving forward. And then Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who has been here a few years too, similar response. Said now you're playing for not only not playoffs so much as the guys next to you. You can't control your own destiny, but again, maybe it's about the guy who sits to your left, sits to your right, how much you care about them, how much you want the product to still look good out there. So it's going to be a challenge, I think, going forward. And I think certainly from the aspect from the other angle of like, whether the team is tanking, if you will. I think we will see as much youth as possible being inserted into the lineup simply because there's no reason not to right now. Give them a look, see what you have in them. Well, the downside, okay, you lose another game. You're not losing out on a playoff appearance at this point. So if by putting some young guys in the lineup, you happen to slide down, that draft pick gets even better than where it sits right now. Oh well. So I don't say that's a direct tank, but maybe an indirect way of tanking, if you will.
Yeah, it's a new scenario for the coaching staff, certainly too. At least for Mike Vrabel, when you look at 2018, they were in the playoff hunt all the way to the very last game of the regular season. 2019, of course, they got on that roll, made the run, got in the playoffs. 2020 and 2021, division championships. At this same point last year, they were 7-3, having just lost to Kansas City in what everybody thought was a terrific performance, a game that created a lot of optimism. And I think they were what, the number two seed in the AFC at that point. And so yeah, to your from here on out, it's uncharted territory for Mike Vrabel as a head coach. And for those who would say, well, the Titans should just tank, it's pointless, it doesn't matter if they win any games anymore, I'll just point to Lovie Smith and the Houston Texans last year, and the pride that he showed and that team showed in winning two of their last three games. One of them they beat Tennessee, actually, and then closed out the regular season with a 32-31 win over Indianapolis that got them to 3-13-1 and cost them the number one overall pick in the draft. There were people in Houston wringing their hands and ready to wring Lovie Smith's neck. Well, 11 weeks into this season, how many of those same fans are looking at what's gone on and say, we really would have been better off with Bryce Young over CJ Stroud? I'm guessing very few of them, right? I mean, that's the thing that I think the average fan doesn't understand in how athletes and coaches at this level are wired, and the way they are wired is that you do everything you can to be your best today, whether that's in practice, whether that's in meetings, whether that's in games, because you don't have a lot of opportunities to do this. The season goes by quickly. You only have 17 games in the regular season. You wanna play well. You wanna get that winning feeling. Most of these guys, they've won a lot more games in their lives than they lost. They want that winning feeling. So that's what you do. You deal with today, try to be your best. And then when the draft comes, when free agency comes, you deal with those things as they happen. And all those fans in Houston who wanted Bryce Young, they were wrong, at least as of right now. So we will, we will get a look at him, as I said, up close and personal Sunday at Nissan Stadium, and we will compare him to Will Levis, who might not be at his best. He's on the injury report this week with a foot and ankle problem. It's been a little different practice schedule because of the holiday. Titans did some work on Tuesday and Wednesday. The players will have an off day Thursday. But Levis was a full participant in Wednesday's practice. Denard, What do you expect from these two guys? Do you is it sort of a referendum on who might have the better career in any way? Or is it just two guys trying to survive another Sunday at this point?
Two guys trying to get better, two guys that are the future of those franchises. And when you look at both of them, the upside, I mean, Will, let me tell you something. What I've witnessed from him, if you're Tennessee and you're that fan base, you know that you have a player that's capable of leading this franchise for the next 10, 12, 13 years. What a great game Sunday. He played well considering the fact that Jacksonville blitzed them like they were supposed to about 80 to 90% of the game. He had a, what, a 143.8 QBR. And a lot of times he's moving left, he's moving laterally rather than, you know, having a chance to have a clean pocket. And I love his athleticism, his toughness. I love his grit. And then you look at Bryce Young, unfortunately 1-9, but he had a terrible game against Dallas. They absolutely beat him up. He had one pick, and he had the last 3 weeks, he's had a QBR of under 70. So he's not enjoying this, kind of this time right now. I call it the growing pains of the league. But again, this is not a game about survival for these two. This is a game to showcase two of your next stars for the next years to come. And what I'm really proud about Will Levis, I'm gonna say this, is that this young man has all the tools that if they can just build it like they did with Dallas when I was in high school, when they drafted Troy Aikman, they went out and they addressed that offensive line. They went out and got, they had players like Mark Tuinei. They had Mark Stepnoski, the former Titans. You talking about, they went out and Larry Allen. You think about what Jimmy Johnson did. He built around Troy Aikman. If they built around Will Levis, this can be an amazing turnaround for years to come for the Titans organization.
Yeah, the one thing Bryce Young has done reasonably well, I guess, this year, or among the things he's done reasonably well, so he's not thrown interceptions in back-to-back games yet. Now, he's thrown multiple interceptions in three different games, but every time he's protected the ball well the next week. So the bad news for the Titans there is that he threw one interception last week against Dallas. I guess maybe he would have thrown more, but was sacked a season high 7 times. Maybe just couldn't get the ball out of his hands often enough to throw a second one. But obviously turnovers are going to be huge in any game for this Titans defense to try and help their offense out if they can if they can force him into a mistake or two. That will obviously be beneficial. John, how injured do we think Will Levis is at this point? And how important do you think this matchup is to him? I mean, there were, in the weeks leading up to the draft, there was some talk that Levis could potentially be the number one overall pick, and then he goes and falls out of the first round altogether. One of those sort of embarrassing draft day scenes. Is you think this means something to him to on Sunday?
I think it does. Yeah, he talked again the other day about, not necessarily only Carolina. It's not like he's got a vendetta against the Panthers, but that whole draft slide in general, and of all the teams that passed on him in the first round, he said that continues to motivate him now, and kind of move him forward when he thinks about that, which apparently he still does with regularity. It was funny. He talked about, he was asked, "Hey, did the Panthers ever, talk to you maybe about being that number one selection instead of Bryce Young?" Because remember, I mean, it sounds hard to believe now, when Levis was number 33, but he was certainly being talked of, as a top 10 pick, last year at the draft, and some were even saying top 5. And he said, yeah, so Carolina had him in for a dinner at some point, then they had him in for a top 30 visit. But he said when he got there, he said it was basically that the Panthers were more or less telling him, "Hey, we like you. You're a nice guy, but frankly, you're not going to be our guy at that number one." So he said it was kind of funny because, like, a week or two after that, all those rumors started swirling around that, hey, the Panthers might take Will Levis at number one. And Will Levis said he's felt like shouting out to somebody, I know it's not going to be me. They don't like me. And remember when they told me that. Nonetheless, he's still very motivated. What I think that kind of the difference is, the big difference between these two guys so far is, you know, that Will Levis arm is the biggest difference, and the production that he has shown because of it. He's got 14 throws over 14 completions over 20 yards so far in just four games. Bryce Young in nine games only has 13. Then you look at those touchdown passes in the last four games. Will Levis has, I think, what, four touchdown passes over 30 yards. The only other guy in the NFL that's done that is Tua. And we know what Tua is dealing with also. He's had four touchdowns over 30 yards. So we've seen the big shot production, the big volume from Will Levis. That is not something we've seen from Bryce Young. You look at, like, yards per completion is a good example. Levis right now averaging 11.7, Bryce Young only 8.5. Pretty significant difference right there. I still think Levis can do some things better, you know, moving teams consistently instead of kind of that all or nothing long touchdown pass or nothing. He needs to be able to move teams consistently, pick up third downs, you know, check down passes sometimes. But he is not turning the ball over very much either. And as you mentioned, David, that's something, you know, Bryce Young has done much more, averaged about one per game so far. So if you look at a very small sample size, you have to like what Levis has done so far compared to Bryce Young. But, as we both know, both of these guys have a long way to go.
So, Denard, are the Titans going to win Sunday?
Yes, they're at home. They have Carolina. And I tell you what, Carolina's offense is terrible. And I mean, I'm talking about their offensive line. I tell you what, Dallas, if I'm Tennessee, I'm taking a page out of Dallas's playbook. They got to a 7 sack Sunday against Carolina. Bryce was, 11 quarterback hits. I got Tennessee winning this game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've seen a different team at home, and this is an even matchup in terms of the offensive lines, and Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and Harold Landry and crew, they have to be salivating at the opportunity to get after a quarterback the way they've seen it. And don't discount Arden Key. Remember, we've talked about Arden Key so much in training camp, and oh, how great he was. And we see now that maybe that was more a product of Andre Dillard's struggles than Arden Key, but we know that Arden can take care or take advantage of a lesser offensive lineman. So this might be the breakout game for him. I kind of have my eye on him going into this one. John, do you care to make it a clean sweep, or are you gonna go Debbie Downer on us?
I have to go with the Titans, Dave. Like, if we can't pick the Titans for this game at home against a 1-9 team, then we might never ever pick the Titans again. Yeah, so I'm going with them. You know, I think one of the most important things too is that this Carolina offense is so poor that it's not a situation where the Titans are going to have to score 25 points, 30 points. You know, this is a team that if they get to 20, then maybe even if they get to 17, you know, they should win this game. And I don't think Carolina has a lot of weapons that can hurt this Titans defense. So I am picking the Titans to win again at home. As you mentioned, hey, they've already beaten the Chargers, the Bengals, and Falcons at home. So I think they're going to do it again.
It's a Thanksgiving miracle. Three of us all thinking positively going into Sunday. Until then, I hope everyone, we hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving. We are grateful to you all for listening and for telling your friends and fellow fans about us. Until next week, Denard Walker, happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, all our listeners and fans.
John Glennon, happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you all as well.
And we will be back next week with Believe in Titans.